You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
I'd like to start with our first speaker, who's Suzanne Bergeron, and she has a paper that's co-authored with her colleague Stephen Healy, who's also here in the audience, and we will ask him later perhaps to participate in the question and answer session. So I will give the floor now to Suzanne, and you have 15 minutes.
Thank you, Shara, and it's a pleasure to be here. In this paper, Stephen and I turn the tables on the guiding question of this conference in a way by examining the potential and limits of development for nurturing emerging social and solidarity economy practices rather than the other way around. Our focus is on recent shifts in attention to gender at institutions such as the World Bank, UNDP, national development agencies, and donor institutions, which incorporate elements associated with social and solidarity economies, including formerly ignored activities and motivations, such as non-market household care work, interdependence, solidarity formations such as microcredit lending circles, social justice, equality, and the like, is now crucial to economic success and well-being. These shifts are lauded in some generally more liberal quarters as evidence that feminist and social economy goals are now deeply infused through mainstream development. But for a wider range of overlapping critical feminist, political economy, post-development, and social and solidarity economy scholarship and practice, the gender turn, like other recent turns towards supposedly progressive agendas in mainstream development, is no paradigm shift at all, for it has been co-opted by the overarching neoliberal agenda that ultimately determines the course of development policy. It is with these arguments regarding the space or not for progressive change opened by the recent gender turn that our paper engages, as we examine whether and how gender and development can move beyond the business case to something more akin to social and solidarity economy outcomes. Our analysis is grounded in a community economies approach pioneered by J.K. Gibson Graham, which offers a particular framing of the concept of social economy that highlights the importance of alternative, non-capitalist practices that are otherwise devalued and marginalized in both mainstream and even some critical discourses. A community economies analysis foregrounds the relational, cultural, and ethical dimensions of a diverse economy populated by multiple organizational forms, forms of exchange and compensation, mechanisms of finance and ownership. Using this approach allows us to theorize and document how economies are structured, not by a given overarching neoliberal capitalist logic, which acts upon us, but is something that can be shaped by people and communities themselves. We begin the paper by briefly documenting recent shifts in gender and development policies, such as taking previously invisibilized non-market care work and other non-capitalist economic activities into account, valuing alternative economic motivations that stress interdependence and solidarity, placing questions of equality on the agenda, and increased emphasis on local and participatory development. We pay particular attention to how development has come to value women's interdependent decision-making and motivations of care for others as important resources for achieving their own economic empowerment as well as achieving key development outcomes. We note that while this shift marks some change in thinking from past practices, it has not been matched by much attempt to imagine economic development otherwise, that is, through a lens of economic diversity, as care, interdependence, solidarity, and non-market production are almost exclusively framed in terms of an instrumental business case for investing in women as smart economics, which captures capitalist market efficiencies and growth. Indeed, this instrumental language of the business case, where poor women are positioned as global saviors due to their combination of rationality, caring motivation, and work ethic, sometimes reminds us more of the authoritarian Marcos regime in the Philippines for its lionizing of migrant women for their remittances, which brought in much-needed foreign exchange, rather than a progressive feminist and social economy agenda. But we also worry that the spaces to push development to imagine economy otherwise that has been opened, even that has been opened by this gender turn, even only through glimmers of possibility of alternative economic and social practices that might emerge from them, are foreclosed when left and feminist critics of institutional development policies reject it as so much business as usual, not worthy of our engagement, in which this new attention to care, solidarity, non-capitalist production, and the like are viewed as always already co-opted within a logic of neoliberal capitalism that ultimately determines the course of development. In reading through the critical literature, we are struck with the frequency with which each analysis concludes with the statement that all seemingly progressive initiatives are fated to be subsumed to the logic of neoliberal capitalism that ultimately drives development policy writ large. So while we agree with the feminist critics in acknowledging the ways that shifts in gender and development can sometimes be implicated in reformed projects of neoliberalism, we also cannot afford to be caught up in a one-sided politics of denunciation that enacts a determining global capitalist order, increasing capitalism's effectiveness, in fact, by granting it more power than it is due. This is not to undermine the crucial arguments made by the critics. For instance, an essentialist vision of the feminine caring subject often guides development's attempts to harness women's contribution to capitalist efficiency in their presumed identities as wives and mothers. And this is hardly a recipe for gender equality in any sort of development, including the development of social and solidarity economies, as Isabel Hillenkamp reminded us in her talk yesterday. But what if instead we could acknowledge these glimmers of caring and interdependence, unpaid in community labor, social policy and concern about equity, through an imaginary of development and change in which the possibility for other economies can emerge? How would we begin to find space within gender and development for fostering projects of transformation, which could be the foundation on which alternative economic interventions are built? Well, we begin this project of taking back the economy by challenging the efficiency arguments around which many mainstream gender and development efforts stake their claims. Only efforts that support narrowly defined goals of human well-being, such as market efficiency and GDP expansion, are given space within these instrumental logics. But crucial to our work, the efficacy case for supporting gender and development in privileging a reified capitalist economy avoids conversations around ethical commitments. To be sure, the economy we are habituated to speak of is one where normative commitments are regarded as sentimental, misguided, and many people who aim to speak economics eschew them. But as the wisdom and courage of those who remain committed to social and solidarity economy values reminds us, to see the economy as always made up of ethical choices is also what it means to remain in fidelity with our principles. And in this sense, we feel like we're continuing a thread begun yesterday by David Barkin, who states that social and solidarity economy building is a complex project that commits people to this sort of interdependence of engaging in those ethical conversations. It is in relation to the project of inhabiting the economy as an ethical subject that we put forth in the notion of economic difference, which creates a possibility for a different relationship between economics and ethics. We propose, following the Community Economics Collective, of which Stephen has been a member for 13 years, and many social economy approaches that sort of map onto it, a view of the economy is itself made up of heterogeneous forms of production, exchange, and distribution, encompassing market and non-market, goods produced from rationality, as well as care and solidarity motivations. Further, We offer a thin definition of capitalism itself, an organizational form that involves wage labor in the production of goods and services where surplus wealth that workers produce is appropriated and subsequently distributed by a group of non-producers, a capitalist owner, or a board of directors. This approach does not reduce the economy to capitalism, nor reduce capitalism itself to a particular set of practices and values beyond surplus wage labor extraction. What it does do is make visible heterogeneous practices, which in turn enables us to see the impacts that multiple forms of economic organization have on people's lives. And as an example of heterogeneous forms of production, we discuss the non-market care work in households because we feel like this is something that's been highlighted as particularly important within social and solidarity economy theorizing and practice, some of which is done household work within traditional patriarchal divisions envisioned within mainstream discourses and, you know, happening on the ground, as we're going to hear about in some of the other papers today, but which also takes place in independent households, those with more cooperative structures, community mutual aid practices, global householding, and so forth. The identification of multiple practices of care and caring and multiple sites where the ethic of care may be motivating economic decisions, including even some capitalist firms, using our thin definition, such as some social enterprises, thus challenges the gendered binaries of masculine, feminine, rationality and care, capitalism and household that limits so many contemporary development thinkings. We then highlight a couple of points associated with recasting economic development as a process of ethical negotiation. First, we note that in the absence of a defining capitalist logic at work, there are no economic laws guaranteeing outcomes, only uncertain decisions that we make. This makes us cognizant that we are not in control of the circumstances in which we build community economies. One implication of this is that our work must be in negotiation with others who have different agendas and motivations, and including, as J.J. McMurtry argued yesterday, the ethical challenge of negotiating with states and markets and, yes, even development institutions. Which brings us back to institutional gender and development policies as they relate to the building of community economies. In the paper, we offer the example of a participatory action gender and development research project in rural Philippines, working with a migrant savings group focused on marshaling remittance income from women domestic workers abroad and funded by Australia's AID under a fairly neoliberally tinged program for decentralizing rural development and reducing state involvement. It would be easy to write this off, this project, is contributing to neoliberal devolution. What's harder to see is the possibility of producing an economy based on care, guided by solidarity and working toward justice. However, that is precisely what Catherine Gibson and her team did by making direct work of the diverse economies framework to produce a different development that fostered social enterprise and the emergence of new economic subjectivities motivated by logics of interdependence and mutual assistance. Rather than take the for-granted, empowered, capitalist female worker outcome as the desired or the regrettable outcome of the development process, Kath and other community economic collective members and the communities they worked with use activist research as a moment of ethical negotiation, imagining how remittance income might give rise to community-based social enterprises or worker cooperatives. From these efforts, several such entities emerged. Some of these ventures succeeded in making an economy of solidarity, while others failed to cohere. But part of the process of learning along the way was using development research as a context for enacting this other world while coming collectively to understand it. If economic development and its subjects are not theorized a priori, it becomes possible to produce other research interventions, other development possibilities that reflect McMurtry's concept discussed yesterday of ethical value added, even other selves that can be meaningfully guided and shaped by ethical commitments. We then close the paper and the presentation with 1 minute to spare. which someone else can have, with a plea to rethink the neoliberal governmentality of development as a unified force, and we replace it with an alternative view that sees development as a site of contradiction and contestation over a divergence of political projects, including projects of nurturing economic difference, to move us out from neoliberalism's conceptual shadow. Thank you.
Check out our other podcasts, available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.